Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hey, 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 Cardinal fans, you have joined the official in the second season. This is our big 1-8. We shall register to vote and register for selective service. That being said, we will talk all things St. Louis Cardinals. We've got a great group of guys with us today. We're going to kick it off with a direct question to each one of you. How you are, try to answer this question and give feedback to it. Pick this up off of Trevor's last time out when we did our special podcast, episode number 17, following the headline. But I am Dr. Michael Miles, one of the editors at Redbird, and we are joined today by my co-editor, Trevor Huth. And the question is, of the remaining Cardinals, the remaining guys who are on the roster, on the 40-man, who would you pass through waivers?
Crap. I don't know. That's a really good question. And my answer to that's probably going to be John Gant, especially with the recent acquisition. He kind of becomes the there's just a lot of pitching there now.
All right. And then follow up just quickly before we move on to someone else. If you shot him through waivers, do you think a team we'd be able to restructure his deal?
I would assume you would be able to, but if not, I mean, I don't know. That's a good question.
All right. Well, keep that in your mind. We're going to come back to it. Let's move now to Russ. Russ Robinson joining us, one of our great writers. And would you send out on waivers?
Oh, you mean anyone on the 40-man roster, you're saying? I would say Sosa. I mean, put someone that's probably not going to see anything. It's right now wouldn't cost us anything. I would just put Sosa through waivers. That would be the guy I'd pick. I was looking at the 40-man roster real quick while you were talking to Trevor, trying to flip through it and see if there's anyone else, and I guess Sosa would be my pick.
All right. You're saying the gamble there would be that he would not be picked by anybody else?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, very good. And we are joined by one of our West Coast affiliates, Christian May Suzuki, CMS. Glad to have you on board. Who on the 40-man would you send through the waiver wire?
You know, I know that people aren't going to be too keen on this simply because we would be eating a decent amount of money, but with the way the team is moving and towards the youth and all of that, I think that only one of the older pitchers can really stick around, and we kept Norris, so I think that Gregerson is a guy that if we were still positioned to sort of win, maybe you would let him try and get himself to rebound. But at this point, it's you might as well just bite the bullet and move toward the future.
Man, you guys have really come up with some great names there. I'll tell you, for my take, I'm really with you, Trevor, and I'm also with you as well, CMS. So it's kind of interesting, too. Anyway, would you guys think about Dexter Fowler? No. Russ, yes or no?
Oh, what was the question again, Michael? You broke up on me there.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My question was, if we could dangle Fowler, which we Cardinals could, would you put Dexter Fowler through?
Oh, I would try it. Yeah, sure. Sure, I sure would.
CMS, yes or no?
110%. It's not even a debate.
And Trevor, yes or no?
I would actually say no right now. Just because, yeah, just because I think we lost that sort of flexibility in my mind when the Cardinals traded Mercado. And frankly, Justin Williams is really bad. I don't like him at all. So there's just not a whole lot of flexibility there as far as who you can call up to play the outfield for me.
All right. Well, guys, let's dive right into our real topics. All of those things are things that we could have spent in a What a great way to get started today. We are broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio here for our 18th episode, second season, following a really outstanding St. Louis Cardinals game today. Not as exciting, but definitely exciting in terms of the mound. And he is one of our rising stars, certainly leader of the future in the way of Jack Flaherty. Let's start with you, CMS. Did you catch the game today and get to see some of Flaherty's outstanding start on this Sunday?
I actually did. I think that one of the big things that I like to see out of Flaherty is him keeping his pitch count down, especially earlier in the game. He's still above 5 pitches per batter this year. Someone can verify that for me if they want. But it's either way, it's still incredibly high. He still can get up to 80, 90 pitches through 4 or 5 innings, and that's a little bit concerning. But today he was, I think, at 65 through 5, which is definitely a step in the right direction. And, I mean, he looked good. There was a couple of fastballs he grooved, and there was a couple of sliders that fell a little bit flat, but I emphasize the word couple because the mistakes were few and far between. It was definitely a really good step in the right direction, even though the Pirates aren't admittedly a great hitting team, but it was definitely a step in the right direction for Flaherty in terms of efficiency.
It's an interesting take. Russ, did you catch the game today?
Well, I did. I caught most of it. I was kind of in and out the middle part of the game, but I saw Flaherty's first 5 innings, and I was really impressed with what he was doing. And the 6th inning, I thought they took him out after 84 pitches. I thought they might stretch him to 7 because, you know, the bullpen had been used quite a bit in the last few games with guys only getting 4 or 5 innings. But, you know, it worked out. Flaherty really looked good. I was glad to see him get 6. That's what, with the bullpen working so well, that's what they need to do. They need to get, they can get 6 innings out of most of the starters, and I think they're in good shape.
Yeah, scoreless. And they were dominant 6 scoreless innings. Trevor, mm-hmm. Any thoughts on Flaherty's game today?
I mean, yeah, I did not catch the game. I had to go into work today, but 6 innings, 7 strikeouts, 3 hits. I mean, there's not a whole lot to complain about there. It looks like he pitched really well, which is good. The young guys playing well is really important, especially the young pitchers, because this the starting rotation going forward is going to be pretty solid. And considering Jack Flaherty is only the second best pitching prospect, in my opinion, I think that means good things for the Cardinals. They can keep performing.
You know, you bring up a good point there, Trevor, when you say that to you, Flaherty is the second best pitching prospect and probably the second best prospect that's in the major leagues right now. Look down the road. Where do you see Flaherty? And here's your segue that you can talk about your number one prospect. What's the future look like for the Cardinals in terms of those two?
I mean, you're going to go under the assumption that Carlos Martinez is still going to be around down the road. So you got to imagine Carlos Martinez will be the number one at least for a few more years, barring anything insane. But then as he develops, Dakota Hudson and his unreal sinker are going to take over, and he's going to be the young guy because he's just getting his first taste now, and I know it's in the bullpen, but he will develop into that starting role really well, I think. So, and then, of course, Flaherty is going to slot in right behind that, and then you got two more spots for, you know, whoever's going to be around. You know, you might have a couple of veterans there. You might not. You might put Ponce in there, Gant. And, of course, the people that I'm forgetting, Weaver potentially, although I'm kind of with, I believe CMS wrote about this, moving Weaver into the bullpen eventually. So I think it's a really good rotation. There's a lot of young arms that are coming up. And we're seeing a lot of them now. So I would say Flaherty's going to slot in below Hudson, but he's still going to end up in that 2-3 area.
CMS, Trevor just tossed over to you with his comment of the piece that you wrote, putting Weaver pen. Looking down the road with the likes of Flaherty and Hudson and Weaver, what do you see the Cardinals doing?
I mean, I'm pretty much in the same boat as Trevor here. I personally do not think that right now the Cardinals have a true, you know, that exciting number one, or that like that really exciting number one prospect quite yet. I think that Flaherty and Hudson have the potential to become that, but more realistically speaking, I probably see them both at their highest, probably around a mid to high second starter to like a third starter. Anywhere in that range is probably where I end up seeing them the next few years. And then, I mean, honestly, look, Weaver still throws two pitches 85% of the time, and his third pitch he gives up a 330 average. He needs to go to the bullpen.
Russ, you've heard two takes on the Cardinals' future. You've heard two takes that have Flaherty slotting in at the number three spot in the rotation. What are your thoughts about the future playing with the names of Flaherty, Weaver, and Hudson?
Well, I agree with CMS. I think Flaherty and Hudson are 2-3 starters right now from what I see. I don't see them as being the top of the rotation, the aces of the staff. Hudson could change my mind because we haven't seen a lot of them yet. And I've seen enough of Weaver. I do think he's probably meant for the bullpen at least for this year. He probably should end up in the bullpen. So yeah, I agree with CMS. I see it the way he does. Flaherty, you know, Hudson and Flaherty either 2 or 3, and Weaver to the bullpen.
You know, it's really interesting when we all agree, and I think that we are all on the same page. And I have to tell you that I find a lot of comfort for the Cardinal future in the fact that we are all number three guy in the rotation. That is a phenomenal problem to have, and it is a problem that the Cardinals have not had with great certainty over the last couple of seasons. So it's going to be really nice, at least to me, to see a return to where we have some really powerful top of the rotation guys. And, hey, none of you said anything about Alex Reyes in that. So, you know, we start talking about adding an Alex Reyes, if he can come back healthy and not be destroyed organization again. Then you're talking about a Martinez, Reyes, Hudson, Flaherty. Now you're only worried about your fifth spot, and then in your fifth spot is Michael Wacha, and he comes back healthy and has another great year. Cardinals are going to be the team to watch out for beginning in 2019, assuming that those guys are coming back. Anything on the addition of the name Alex Reyes to that mix? Starting with you, Russ.
Yeah, I think Reyes could be the ace, but, you know, we don't know about his durability. He's had two back-to-back years of season-ending injury, and Carlos Martinez this year is beginning to make us ask questions about what his durability is, and Wacha certainly is. So I'm not real comfortable yet knowing that the three of them are going to be pitchers we can depend on. Surely one out of the three will come through, but as of yet, we need to see Alex Reyes pitch a full season before we can, before we can determine if he's going to be the top of the rotation guy.
Hey, fair enough. Absolutely fair enough. Trevor, your thoughts on tossing in the name of Alex Reyes to that rotational conversation?
Yeah, I mean, Alex Reyes is a good pitcher. We all know that. We all know that he's, he's got a really high ceiling and all that. But he's been injured for 2 years, like Russ said, season-ending injuries. When he's coming back from Tommy John this year, you can think, okay, great, you can slot him back in a rotation role, anything like that. But this, the second injury is up, it's a torn lat tendon, I believe, that's up in your shoulder. So that's kind of tough to come back from in a way that you can think he's still a starting, you still think of him as a starter. I think he's got a high ceiling, he's got a lot of talent. If he can come back from his shoulder and start, I will put my foot in my mouth. But right now, I think that would be grossly mishandling it. I think he should just, with those injuries, it's hard not to just see him filling into a late-inning bullpen role, maybe as a potential closer in my mind.
CMS, your thoughts. Alex Reyes added that name to the rotational conversation.
Yeah, I mean, he most certainly has the potential. There's no doubt that with the dude being able to throw 98, good breaking balls, his arm is supposed to be able to last through starts, then most certainly. But, I mean, I hate to sound like a broken record, but, let's not even talk about full season. Let's talk about 5 games. Let's talk about 10 games. Let's talk about him playing a team multiple times. Until I really see him pitch against a team multiple times, a team that has sort of gotten the information on him, that's gotten used to his game. And, the number ones are the guys who, despite all of that, are good enough to work around that, to, beat their own tendencies and to overcome the pitcher that they were before, to overcome the data that teams have on them. And until I see that from Reyes, much less getting healthy, until I see that from Alex Reyes, I'm not ready to call him number one.
I think those are all really wonderful conversations. I want to add in, and really Trevor touched on this. To me, I want to see Alex Reyes come back as the closer. I want to see him pitch the fewest amount of innings possible, but the greatest amount of innings where he can maximize that power without overtaxing himself. And I think that's going to be critical for his return. If you guys will think back a couple of seasons back, Carlos Martinez had been coming out of the gate as a fireballer. And he started to get shelled. And he sat down with Yadier, and they really came to terms with, hey, I don't have to throw 100 miles per hour. I can back off a little, and I can throw 95, 96 miles an hour, and I can pick up a few extra innings by not overtaxing my machinery. And we watched Carlos Martinez make a dramatic change and turn into an ace. Now, for whatever reason, he's gotten himself injured yet again, but all those things being equal, I would really love to see Alex Reyes move into the bullpen as the closer. Let him spend spring training just coming out and facing one inning at a time, just so he can get a feel for what that is like. And I would love to see 2019 a season in which he experiments with that role. But, that, guys,
Michael, could I?
From our... Yeah. Go ahead, Russ.
I'm sorry. Michael, I just want to kick in while we're on that subject of Reyes to the bullpen is that John Smoltz did that with the Braves. He got hurt, I think. Then when he came back, they put him in the bullpen. He was a closer for the Braves for a while. Then they worked him back into the rotation. So I think that would be a sound plan for Reyes next year if they did that.
Well, and then in addition to that, as Reyes grows older, he would have a direct path into the broadcast booth just like Smoltz did.
Yeah, maybe a pretty good broadcaster, too. Yeah.
I think I heard somebody trying to add in there. Was that you, CMS, or Trevor?
Oh, yeah, it was me. The thing with Reyes is, and I didn't get to see him, on his way back, but if his mechanics are still the same as they were when he went out with Tommy John, he puts a lot of stress on his arm when he goes to throw the ball. I mean, he gets out into his power slot, and it's you know, he has a decently good power slot, but when he goes to turn, his shoulder kind of lags behind. That puts a lot of stress on that elbow and shoulder area, and that's where a lot of this injury stuff is going to be starting. I know I wrote a piece on it, a year ago, somewhere around there. So one thing that's going to have to change for Ray, if he's going to come back healthy, is figuring out his mechanics a little bit more.
Yeah, I completely agree. And let me tell you that I did see him in person on his rehab trip this year, and his mechanics have not changed. And to the point that all of us who were lucky enough to get into the clubhouse and talk with him after his, you know, all-star Hall of Fame performance in Memphis during his rehab, that was a recurrent question with him. How do you feel? How is the arm? Are you tired? Did you really go out and give more than you really should or could? Of course, he gave the, you know, political answers that he felt great and everything felt right. But, you know, one thing that I did sort of pick up on, and no one had really said much about it, but Trevor, while the upper part of his motion is relatively the same, I'm becoming more concerned with what he's doing with his lower half to try to compensate and save his lat and shoulder. And I think he may be opening himself up to injuries in those areas simply because he's trying to not injure the top half. So just keep that in mind. Let's watch for that as we move forward. But let's dive right back into our agenda, you guys. It was wonderful, great place to start. I want us to talk about two guys, one who stayed with the Cardinals and one who departed. And both of these guys have actually befallen similar injuries. And we're talking about Dexter Fowler, who stayed with the Cardinals and is now injured and on the disabled list. And ironically, on the very day he became injured, Tommy Pham, who was traded to Tampa, he suffered the same injury. Give us your thoughts on all of those things. Let's start with you, CMS. Just talk to us about Tommy Pham, that trade, his injury, and Dexter Fowler staying with the Cardinals and his injury.
I mean, it's really unfortunate what happened to Pham. I mean, you can't really say that the trade was any better because Pham was going to get injured eventually or anything like that. I mean, he got hit by a ball. It just happened to break his foot. It's an unfortunate turn of events. And, I mean, that is part of the reason why, at the end of the day, the Cardinals did trade him, is simply because they couldn't trust the durability sometimes, and he's getting older, and those two things just didn't quite mix in the Cardinals' plan. But apparently it does with Dexter Fowler, simply because we're paying him too much money for it not to. It's quote-unquote unfortunate. I put that in quotations because I'm sure you all know why. It's unfortunate that Fowler got hurt, but, I mean, it opens up a lot of opportunities for other people. And the only thing that I'm concerned that O'Neill, obviously he was hurt and that he with the groin soreness or whatever, but I'm really concerned that he will not get enough playing time, or the playing time that he should, which is a significant amount, throughout this period of Dexter Fowler being hurt, solely because they have to play Martinez and Carpenter, which is part of the reason that I think that Martinez is a little bit of a logjam and should have been traded. But overall, I mean, I wouldn't say it's the worst thing in the world on either front. We can't say that we did any better on the Pham trade was still bad, no matter if he hurt or not. The Fowler signing is still bad. He's still not playing well. None of that is going to change. So, I mean, it's just for both sides, it's unfortunate, I guess.
Fair. Trevor, what are your thoughts?
I think that Pham getting hurt is nobody in Cardinal Nation was cheering for Pham to get hurt, and his injury doesn't have any effect on if the trade was good or not. But it does, in a way, even though it was kind of out of his control, showcase why the return wasn't as big as we thought it should be. Sam has had injuries in the past. He's had injury issues in the past. And so that's why you get, you know, Justin Wilson, an outfielder for some reason. I still think that's a huge mistake. But the fact that we got him and Genesis Cabrera, who made his debut with Springfield today and from everything I've seen looked really good. But that kind of shows why the return was lighter than we all thought it should be. Kind of weird to trade Sam in the first place, but we covered a lot of that on our trade deadline episode. As far as Fowler goes, the tweet I saw after about what are Cardinal fans going to complain about now, I liked that tweet a lot because Fowler's not going to be in the lineup anymore. So that's kind of, in a weird way, what Cardinal Nation wanted. I still wasn't ready to close the book on him yet. He was just getting his consistent playing time going again with the new coaches. And I know some people don't buy into that. I certainly do. And you're not going to call a season in 14 games, even though he's had all year. And if you're really throwing the season like we all are, like not we all, but like some people are thinking it's happening, why not play him and let him work his way out with his contract? So kind of weird they have similar injuries on the same day, but it works out because now Bader and O'Neill will hopefully start to get some more playing time, at least more than they would have gotten with a healthy Fowler.
Okay, fair enough. Russ, your thoughts on the Fowler and Pham injuries?
Well, I think Pham getting injured kind of takes the discussion away of whether we should have kept Pham or not. I mean, he got injured, and he's been injured off and on in his Cardinal career, so I don't think we'll be arguing about that too much. But as far as Dexter Fowler, I'm kind of like with Trevor. It's really too bad because he had just started to see regular playing time. They're giving him one more chance, I guess, till the end of the year to work things out. I know that this really kind of complicates things for the Cardinals because they were wanting him to get his average up, and I felt like so they could make him more attractive for an off-season trade and unload as much of that salary as possible. They probably never was going to unload the whole part, but if they could get him offensively on track again, they may have a better chance of engineering some sort of trade. And I'm going to write a piece about that and try to get it out tomorrow sometime. And on that and what the Cardinals ought with him hurt now, what they may or may not be able to do with him. But anyway, it's just too bad that it's too bad the timing on the Fowler injury really for the Cardinals.
Yeah, and guys, if you will remember, I was actually reminded of this. And Facebook reminded me that a year ago I put up a post right after the Cardinals had traded away Charlie Tilson. And ironically, Tilson suffered an injury in the first game that he played for the team that he went to. These things are not correlated by any means. They certainly are not causation by any means. And yet it's very ironic that a year ago we traded away an outfielder, Charlie Tilson, a promising outfielder who goes to his new team, the Chicago White Sox, and on the very first game of his tenure with them, suffers a season-ending injury. I don't know if Pham's injury is going to necessarily be season-ending, but it could be. And that was just kind of ironic that a year later we're seeing the same thing. So, you know, the conspiracy theorist in me believes that our medical team, you know, puts microchips into our players so that once we trade them away, they activate those chips and our players become even more injury prone than what they already were. To Pham himself, I hate for him that he suffered this injury. The guy wants to play. I was very impressed that he handled the departure from the Cardinals organization. He could have said much more, I think, and been a little more animated than what he was. So I think that the Cardinals got off lucky with that. The Rays certainly, they're probably looking at Pham beyond this season anyway, in terms of why they picked him up. They're hoping to go through a rebuild. That is, if MLB allows them to keep their team, which I've heard many rumors that they will be one of those who could be excised, could be moved, that sort of thing. it would not surprise me at all, speaking of that, guys, if the Tampa Rays become the Las Vegas Rays, because the Las Vegas is one of the places that MLB is looking at opening an expansion team or moving one of the teams from Florida. And if that becomes the case, then what a win-win for fans, since he lives in Vegas. That would just be really great. Let's keep going forward, but before we do, let's take a short break. Thank you for joining us today. You are listening to the 18th episode of the second season of the official Redbird Rants podcast on Blog Talk Radio, and we will be right back. Thank you for sticking with us. You are listening to the official Redbird Rants podcast on Blog Talk Radio in our second season. This is our 18th episode. We've got Trevor Huth, Russ Robinson, Christian Mace, Miles, and we are talking Cardinals. And guys, the Cardinals, I mean, are they for real? Are what we are seeing these last 2 days, is this to be believed? Is this how we're going to see the Cardinals in the second half? Let me hear your thoughts on that. Start with you, CMS. What do you think about the Cardinals going into the second half of the season?
Well, for me, I think the biggest change that I have noticed, particularly, I mean, I mentioned in the last podcast, I know there was a small sample size, but the discipline at the plate from Cardinal hitters just seems to be better. Like, there just seems to be a little bit more patience, a little bit better of an approach. I mean, let's take a guy like Harrison Bader, for example. I know it sort of extends into Matheny's tenure a little bit, but over the last 17 or 18 games, he's hitting almost 400, playing really well. The at-bat today, I remember watching him take a couple of breaking pitches outside, and I remember the first thing I thought of was, man, a month ago when he first came up, he would have swung at both of those. Guys just generally look more patient, and that's just, they're just sort of feeling that there's a little bit more confidence, there's a little more of a plan and an approach and a reason to go up than there was before. There's sort of a little bit more, like I said, just a reason to really, they're not sort of aimlessly going up just like, oh, I'm going to hit the ball. There's, you know, there's something behind it. There's a plan to watch the pitcher, a plan to go after a pitcher early. There seems to be something there that there wasn't before.
Yeah, and I think you're definitely onto something there, but I'm going to reserve my comments on that until I hear from everybody. Trevor, what can you add to what you're saying about how the Cardinals have really kicked things in their second half of the second half, meaning, you know, with after the managerial change?
Well, I mean, the managerial changes and the coaching changes, those are huge. We've discussed it extensively. We've beat it to death. But Buda, Greer, and Schilt are doing a good job. They're doing their job. And I think that the Cardinal organization was very smart to come out and say they have the rest of the season, because now Schilt and the other coaches can do their job without a cloud hanging over their head of, I might not have tomorrow. They know they have till the end of the season to prove that this is their job. And I think Schilt's doing a great job. And I think that we're starting to see some of the effects of the new hitting coaches as they're starting to brainwash them of everything that Mabry did for them. I mean, to them, sorry. And thank you. I thought that was good. Anyway, I think the coaching is really starting to show through.
Yeah, and I want to circle back to that as well. But Russ, what are your thoughts on the Cardinals, how they've kicked things off here in their second half?
Yeah, it appears they're turning it around. They've done it against some contenders, especially in the recent games. Trevor said, that maybe the new coaching is kicking in. But the bullpen changes has helped out a whole lot. This bullpen's been outstanding. If the starter has gotten in trouble, the bullpen has come in and shut it down and give the offense a chance to catch up. So I think that's the trade deadline moves to bring in some help, promotions, and bring in some help with the bullpen has really been it's really worked out well. So and it's worked out against contenders. That's what's been impressive about this. You know what, Chicago, Colorado, and now who do we just go? Pittsburgh. It's looking really, it's really looking up right now.
Let me tell you, I love that everything that you guys have said, that the changes to the bullpen, changes to the coaching staff, all of these things having an effect on performance. There's been two things that really have stood out to me as being highly turnaround, and they have to do with the offense. They have to do with Buddha and Ryu. The first thing was we heard the news from Marcell Ozuna that he sat with Buddha and with Greer, and I believe it was Greer himself, although I think the credit was given to Buddha. Either way, somebody told him, they went back through video, and whomever it was, now in the hitting side of things, they told him that he was not looking at the pitcher with both eyes. And that small, more towards the pitcher as the pitcher is delivering the pitch, has allowed him to regain his offensive ability such that we're seeing really positive results. Although we joke that the salsa is what's helping Matt Carpenter, you have to imagine that the new guys who are there helping and the things that they are seeing could in fact be something that's helping bear fruit. Now, the second thing was there was a tweet that someone put out today, and it was a screen grab or a picture, and it had Matt Carpenter in the dugout looking at an iPad right after an at-bat. We didn't see those things happening with Mabry as the hitting coach. We didn't see those moments. I'm not saying they didn't happen. I'm saying we saw no evidence of it. And maybe our perspective is a little more focused now, and we're seeing that. Or the new offensive coaches have insisted upon these minute changes. At any rate, those things are working out nicely. And yes, as you said, Russ, the additions to the bullpen, the changes to the bullpen have helped. And part of that, or rather the large part of that, was doing away with dead weight, having some people go away, having some people try to pass through waivers, at which they did and are now on a minor league contract, having others go on the disabled list, getting that dead weight gone. That freed a lot of other things to happen. And then you just get this sense from the guys of you, when you watch the games, that even when they're down by several runs, they're not out of it. And I don't know if it was a Matheny thing, a Mabry thing. I don't know where the nonverbal came from. But the players under Matheny, at least in this season, and I would wager a bet that it was last season as well, they just would get such a down, despondent look about them when they were down several runs, as though they had already acquiesced to the loss. And I think those things are speaking volumes to this new staff and the second half of the Cardinals. And I'm going to cut right to the chase, you guys. I don't think the Cardinals are going to the postseason this year, but I think they're going to have a lot of fun in the second half. And I could be wrong. Something could change. We could pick up a guy before August 31st and turn things around. But as it stands right now, I don't see them going to the postseason. But I do see them playing spoiler, and I do see them trying to figure out their identity and being successful in that as we move forward. So our next topic is really predicting the second half. You guys have heard my thoughts on it. Russ, what do you think about the Cardinals in the second half? What do you predict for them?
Well, I think a lot of it's going to depend on the next five games. And the reason I say that, it's only Miami and Kansas City, but they haven't been able to take advantage when they've come up on a on teams that were struggling. Remember in June they came up on these series of games where they were going to be playing non-contenders basically, and they didn't play well at all. And I think maybe that was the beginning of the end of the Matheny Mabry era right there. And if they can jump on these teams and win 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 5, even better, that'll show me something that this team is changed. It's something different. Because after that, if you look at the rest of the schedule to close out the season, there's some tough series. There's several tough series, and most of the series are going to be against contenders. So they really need to jump on these next 5 games. If they do that, I think might be fairly optimistic that they could push themselves into the postseason.
Okay. CMS.
Now, I don't particularly think that the Cardinals can make it to the postseason so much on their own, a huge turnaround or some miraculous, Braves like we did on the Braves in 2011. Really, it's just simply because the race is still so close that anything can really happen. I mean, at the end of the day, with how bad the Cardinals have played, even in their worst stretches, they were never more than 6-7 games out of the wild card. And I believe right now they're only 4 games out. I mean, I think there's still plenty of time to make the postseason. Now, I certainly don't think that they'll do very much if they do make the postseason, because I don't think they quite have the mental abilities to, really push through a postseason against some of the better competition in the NL. But I do definitely think that if they keep heading in this direction and they keep slowly improving, I think that they can finish maybe even possibly 10 games over 500 and, sneak into that second wildcard spot.
Fair enough. Trevor, your thoughts about the Cardinals going into the second, or rather closing out the season?
I mean, as you guys know, I don't catch many games, so as far as what they're doing on the field, I see if they win or not, which is excellent, right? Winning's good. They won today. But for me, the second half, and I've stayed true to this, is all going to be about the manager. I don't really see a playoff. I don't see them in the playoffs, but I see them playing well as they are right now, and I think that that's going to make the decision on who's going to manage more interesting. And I think that's what the second half is deciding what direction the team wants to go with their manager, what moves that they're going to want to make this offseason, if they're going to want to launch into a small rebuild, even though they have some talent up now, or if they're going to want to just kind of ride out what they have and fill in the holes and get a manager who's ready to make that postseason run right now. So I don't see him in the playoffs, but I hope they continue to play well. I think being spoilers is a role that they can take on for sure. But the second half to me is all about that the open, quote unquote, open manager spot.
All right, fair enough. Guys, here's what I would like for you to do. I want you to make a prediction for the second half or the closeout of the season in each division. So what I'd like to do is go, starting with the National League, and go East, Central, West. Give us who is going to win those divisions. Let's start with you, CMS, since we're going to go West. Let's go West, Central, East. So we're going to start with you, CMS. Who's going to win the NL West, the NL Central, and the NL East?
You said NL West first?
Yeah, go West, Central, East.
West, Central, East. Okay. I'm going to stick with my guns at the beginning of the season. I know that the Dodgers made some big acquisitions, but I'm pretty high on the Diamondbacks, and they've still been able to manage to keep themselves afloat, so I'm going to stick with Arizona for the West. Man, it's always annoying to pick a winner of the Central between teams I hate. Like, I don't want to say it because it hurts every fiber of my being. But when you look at the Cubs, I mean, they have 102 run diff. They've been playing pretty consistently all year. They don't quite have the pitching that you would expect. But I think that their roster is enough to close it out over the Brewers. So I'll go with the Cubs. And the East, honestly, I really like Philly. I mean, I know that I'm sort of riding with the people in front right now, but I've been really high on Aaron Nola for a while. I think that Eichhoff is still really good, even though he's been a little bit off. Obviously Hoskins is great, and they've really, really done a good job at putting some of this younger talent together. The Braves are the other team, but they're another team that kind of came out of left field too, and I didn't really sort of imagine that they had the talent to pull together the National League East. So between the two, I would have to say probably Philly.
All right, so we've got Diamondbacks, Cubs, Philly. Your three, Russ, going west, central, east.
Well, I still think the Dodgers are going to pull it out. They're only a game out right now, and I think they will pull it out. And although Arizona looks awful good, I still believe in the Dodgers. As far as the central, it's got to be the Cubs. I can't see Milwaukee holding out to beat the Cubs for the division championship. So, the Cubs just have too much talent right now. I think they'll pull it out. In the East, I'm going to be like CMS. I'm going with the Phillies. The Braves just seem like they, I don't know that they, they should have the stuff to win it, but it seems like this year the Phillies have it together. And I think they're only a game and a half up now, but I think they'll pull it out.
All right, Trevor, west, central, east.
Would you believe me if I said Padres, Reds, and Marlins? No?
No.
All right. Well, then I guess I'll make action.
Nice try.
For the West, I think I have to go with the Dodgers. They just, they have too much offensive firepower. And, obviously they're the team to beat in the major leagues right now. So obviously I got to go with the Dodgers. In the Central, I have to go with the Brewers. They got something about that team. I don't know what it is. I got to start the season writing about them, and there's just something about that team. Their pitching is playing better than anybody thought they would. I think they're pretty strong. They're going to surprise some people, and I'm not going to go Philly. I'm going to go with Atlanta in the East. Mostly because I like a lot of their young guys and I kind of hope they win. But I think Atlanta's the team to take away that East. They got a lot of young guys, and I think they'll be able to keep a good amount of energy through the postseason.
Fair enough. I've got Dodgers, Cubs, and I'm with you, Trevor. I've got the Braves in the East for all the reasons that you said. Guys, let's talk about the two wildcard teams in the National League. We're going to start with you, CMS, again. Who you got taking the two wildcard spots?
Well, based on my predictions, I'm going to be super optimistic here. I'll say, obviously, the Dodgers are the big one that I missed in the playoffs. And then, you know what? I'm going to go St. Louis Cardinals and take that second wildcard spot, like I mentioned earlier.
Wow. Okay. Russ, two wildcard spots, National League.
Wow. Well, I think Milwaukee will be the other one of the wildcard teams. And I'm going to go with the Diamondbacks. I think they played well consistently all year. I think they'll take one of the two wild card spots. So the Diamondbacks and Milwaukee.
All right, Trevor.
I'm also going to go with the Diamondbacks. I think they're a really good team, and that's going to be a really good race in the West. I don't want to say the Cubs, but I think the Cubs have a really good shot at that wild card. If not the Cubs, there's no if not the Cubs. I would say the Cubs.
Yeah, you guys, I want to be optimistic like CMS, but I'm just not. Since I picked the Dodgers to win the West, I've got to say that Arizona is going to be, if not the top wild card, at least one of them. And then, of course, the second one is either, I picked the Cubs to win the Central, and I feel like the second wild card spot is going to be a race between Milwaukee and the Phillies. Either one of those I could see falling into that spot, only if the other falls out. And we could be seeing a tiebreaker game at the end of the season between Milwaukee and the Phillies to decide that second wild card spot. Let's move to the American League. We're going to start with you, Russ, and let's go West, Central, East.
Okay. Well, I think that's pretty easy. I think it's going to be Houston. I think it's going to be Cleveland, and I think it's going to be Boston. Barring a collapse of one of those teams, and I don't see it, I think they're the three champions.
Okay, Trevor, West, Central, East in the American League.
No disagreement for me. Houston, Cleveland, Boston. The closest team to taking over a spot right now is Oakland, who's five games back, and I think we can all agree that Oakland is not necessarily going to win the division. So, Houston, Cleveland, Boston.
Okay. CMS.
Those three teams, I think they're not only the best teams in the AL, but they're the best teams in the majors right now. I got to do the same. Boston, Cleveland, Houston.
All fair. And guys, I cannot disagree with any of you. So moving on to the wild card. Russ, give me your two teams from the American League.
Well, the Yankees are going to get in. One of the wild card spots, I'm pretty comfortable. The other one, there's not much of a it's not about the National League. There's not a lot of teams in play here. There's only Oakland. After the Yankees, only Oakland and Seattle, really. And, I'll go with Oakland as the other wild card team.
Okay. Trevor?
Yankees for sure. And I'm going to have to say Seattle's going to take the other one. I really like their roster.
Okay. CMS.
I'm going to have to say, like everybody, Yankees. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, even though they actually kind of struggle away from home, which is kind of interesting. But the other team is, I am a huge Oakland A's fan. I think that they've got a lot of great pieces. You can argue that they have the best bullpen in the league with Tuivalu, Trinan, and Familia now. You have the best defensive infielder, the best defensive player in the majors in Matt Chapman. You have a great slugger this year in Chris Davis. And, I mean, there are some pieces that are left to be desired, but I think that they're, especially with the way they play, the fact that your starters really only have to go six innings, I think that there's basically all the things that they've had issues with over the past however long. I mean, who knows how long it's been since the A's have been a legitimate contender. But especially in recent years, they've really started to fix the problems and the big holes in their team, and I think that's starting to show. So I'm really big on the A's as the second AL wildcard spot.
You know, my answer to the wild card in the American League is the New York Yankees, and then I don't care. The Yankees are certainly the ones who are going toe-to-toe with, or close to toe-to-toe. I mean, they are, what, seven games back. But, by the way, I was listening yesterday while I was mowing one of my fields. I was listening to the Cincinnati broadcast. I'm a sucker for Marty Brenneman. I think he does a really great broadcasting job. And they were talking about the Yankees, and they were talking about Boston. And if the Yankees were in any other division, they would be up by, like, seven games, as opposed to be trailing by seven games. I mean, that's outlandish. That's insane. And so that's why I say that the AL wild card is the Yankees. And then the second team is, I don't really care because I don't think it's going to matter. That's where we sit with that. But guys, let's take one quick break, a final break. And then when we come back on the other side, I want to talk about an acquisition that, that the Cardinals just claimed through waivers. So stick with us. You're listening to the official Redbird Rants podcast, episode number 18 of season 2 here on Blog Talk Radio. And thanks for sticking with us. We're going to wrap things up here. We've got about 5 minutes left in our broadcast, but we want to talk about the most recent pickup that the Cardinals have made. And they staked a claim on Tyson Ross, a right-handed pitcher from the San Diego, from the Padres. Trevor, what do you think about this claim? And also, come full circle, and will the Cardinals actually maintain this claim, or do you think the Padres will pull him back?
I think they end up getting Ross. I thought I read somewhere that he would be reporting with St. Louis tomorrow, but I could be wrong about that. I've been wrong before. But as far as the other question, I don't know what to think of it. Ross has struggled lately, but he's going to be a solid arm. This year his numbers are a little different. He's throwing his cutter a lot more and his fastball a lot less, according to Fangraphs. And his big piece is, of course, his slider. And that's going to be interesting. I'm going to point out that everything I'm about to say is off the basis of something that Joe Schwarz wrote for The Athletic about Mike Maddux and what he's done for this Cardinals pitching staff. And the two things that have been pointed out are elevated fastballs, which Ross's fastball velocity is averages low 90s, so he can reach the level where the elevated fastball is going to work pretty well for him. And he's another guy who's had some arm issues too in the past. But the other thing is that the Cardinals pitching staff is elevating their breaking pitches more early in the count. Miles Michaelis is kind of a for lack of a better term, poster boy for what Maddux has been doing, because he's been doing it a lot. But that's with a curveball. With a slider, that becomes, to me, a lot more dangerous. So it's going to be interesting to see how they have him approach hitters. But he will be interesting to see in the Cardinals rotation. I'm assuming he's going into the rotation. He should drop into the rotation. The Cardinals could use another rotation arm with all the injuries that have gone on there. Having the young guys is great, getting them exposure, but it's nice to have an anchor in there to take some weight off the bullpen. But as far as his breaking pitches go and things like that, the slider usage is going to be somewhat interesting to me, because a lot of the success of Maddux so far, when you look at a pitcher like Michaelis, who's having a great year and was an all-star, is that elevated fastball early in the count or elevated curveball early in the count to get ahead. So we'll see how they handle that with Ross and his slider.
All right. Interesting. CMS, your thoughts?
I'm honestly relatively apathetic about this. I don't think that there's, when you look at it, there's any real reason to be upset about it. At the end of the day, there's no real risk involved. The money isn't too bad. We're not going to try and get anybody else anymore this year, so it's not like any of that matters. If he doesn't pitch well, then he's gone next year, so there's no long-term issue with that. So really, there's no reason to be upset, but at the same time, it concerns me that he has it boggles my mind that he's a guy who can throw and who has thrown one hitters and no hitters and he's done those kinds of incredible games and still has a 1.35 career whip. Now if he were a big strikeout pitcher, if he were younger, if there was more to build off of, then I would be a little bit more excited about it, per se. But I just don't see the reward really panning out. I mean, the fact that he can do those things, which obviously should really help pad your numbers in a way, if you have those great starts, yet somehow his numbers just don't look padded. I mean, that really just goes to show that when he struggles, it's a deep, deep sinkhole. And I mean, that's kind of what I'm expecting out of him. So I'm not particularly excited. I just kind of see it as a just in case, a backup or a logjam. But there's not much reason to be upset either, like I said. So I'm pretty apathetic, pretty neutral. I don't really care, honestly.
Okay. Russ, what do you think about this acquisition?
Well, like CMS, I'm kind of neutral about it. I guess, like you said, no risk. If he doesn't work out next year, they're not committed to him. The best thing I'm thinking why they picked him up is the pitching coaches must have saw something they really liked in him for them to pick him up. They're going to throw him down in Memphis, I understand, and let him be a starter and see how he does. And I guess if he works out, you know, maybe he'll help out. But it's hard to get excited about this pickup.
You know, I think you guys, those are all very fair. I kind of found the snag somewhat interesting. Some of the things that I was reading is, the Cardinals were looking for somebody who could eat up some innings, as you guys have mentioned. He can and will certainly do that. I question if they will actually close the claim. I'm really going to be interested to see if he makes it to Miami, which is where he's supposed to be joining. Trevor, you are correct. You did read that correctly. I think that's where the organization is expecting him to join the team on the road. I think that if they do close the claim, meaning they get him, I wonder if that puts Gant on notice. Or put Gant into the bullpen. It's just one of those interesting things. I'm kind of in one way like UCMS, but I'm not excited. I don't really care about it. But at the same time, I think it may be an indicator of more of the direction that the organization is looking in the future. Guys, we have absolutely run out of time. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought they were sending him. I thought I read something this morning. He was going to Memphis, but maybe I was wrong about that. I didn't know they were bringing him up. But I'd be a little surprised if they took a chance on him putting him in the rotation right now. That's all I thought.
You know, they didn't say if he was going in the rotation or going into the bullpen, but they did mention that he would be joining the team in Miami and. Mm-hmm. That would be very telling if that happens. So we're going to have to just stay by the Twitter machine and be ready to watch tomorrow night's game, which I'm sure they'll have more information on him at that time if the Cardinals do complete the claim. But, guys, again, we ran out of time. Thank you so much. What a fantastic show. I really appreciate you, all of you. Appreciate you, Trevor, and UCMS, and you, Russ, as well. And to all of you, our listeners and our avid readers, we want to say thank you. Keep doing all of those things. And you can find out more information over at redbirdrants.com. I'm Dr. Michael Miles. And on behalf of everybody at Redbird Rants, we say go Cardinals. Thanks, guys.